We begin the Karan Daf Masechet Seif and Daf Ayin Tes. We begin on the bottom of Ayin Ches Amud Beis, 3 lines up from the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara continues to discuss the Mishnah that was in the bottom of the previous Daf, that spoke about a continuation of the previous Mishnahs, 2 chatzeres, 2 courtyards, that are separated with a separation. The previous Mishnah spoke about a wall separating them with 10 tefachim height. Here we're talking about that it was in the depth, separating the 2 chatzeres. There's a charitz, a ditch that's 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide that separates the 2 chatzeres. So we said that they are considered totally separate areas. They cannot make an erev together. They can make an erev separately for their own chatzeres, but not together. Then the Mishnah said, if you eat that, even if you fill it up with straw, tevin, and kash, it's still not going to be considered as if it's there permanently. And therefore, it's still considered separate, even though you filled it up and now you could walk straight across. However, the Mishnah said that if you fill it up with offer, with earth, then we're going to say that will be considered as if you filled up the hole, and it's like it's not existent, and therefore it's like connected, you filled up the ditch. That's where our Gemara begins. It said in the Mishnah, Moli off, if you fill it up with earth, then we'll view it as if it's stuffed up and closed up, and now you have no ditch separating the 2 chatzeres. Which the Gemara asks, Vafilu b'stama, is it even so, even if you don't know for sure if he's going to take the earth away or not, that is, it was just filled up. Now you don't know for sure. Either way, you're going to say that we view it as if it's filled up. But Vatnan, we learn in the Mishnah Masechtas Olas that says, bias regarding a house that has a tumas mess inside of it, that there's a corpse that conveys tumas to the entire tent, to the entire house that it's inside of it. Shemiluhu tevenitzreis, the house was filled up with straw or pebbles. Ubitloy, and he was mavatl, he nullified, he said, I'm keeping the straw and the pebbles, I'm never taking it away from there. Then the halacha is that batl, we view it as nullified as if it became part of the house. Therefore, as Rashi explains, it becomes what's called tumaritzutza, which is crouching tumma. That means that now we view the whole house as if it's closed up. There is no tent over here of space. Therefore, what happens is, if you have a corpse that's in an enclosed area that has no space between the corpse and the roof, which is what happened over here, you fill up the whole entire house with straw or pebbles all the way up to the ceiling. So now we say that it's enclosed one big tumma. Now it goes up to the sky. And that is, and anyone that is mahil, that goes over a roof that has this tumma, becomes tummy. And that's because any tumma that does not have an oil of tefach, at least a space of an oil of tumas oil, at least of a tefach worth, then that goes up to the sky, like the Gemara Masechtas Bracha says in Perek Mishnah Meisur. So therefore, over here, where you filled it up all the way to the top, this is not the oil. It's like the whole house is the corpse. So the corpse then conveys, it shoots up a tumma. So if there's at least a tefach of space from the corpse to the top of the oil, so then that's where that oil ends. But if you view it as all closed there, which in this case you have the tevin and the tzorer is filling up the whole house, and there's no space over there, and he's leaving it there, he's nullifying it there, so we view it as one closed area, which now it shoots up until there's a different oil that blocks it up. So the diak is, the inference is, what the Gemara is going to ask from is that bitlu in, it sounds like that these two tevin, or even tzreiris, even pebbles, which in our Mishnah, the tzreiris, the pebbles, is the equivalent of the case of the offer of the earth, that even when you're using offer and tzreiris, it's only if you nullify it to keep it down. We continue on to up top of Ayin Testament Aleph, but loy bit loy, but it sounds like that if you're not mevatel, if you don't specifically say, hey, I'm going to leave it here, then it's not going to be batel, and the tumma will not be shooting up above the roof, because it does have its own hoil, because although it's filled up with rocks and pebbles, it doesn't make a difference. We don't view that as there unless he specifically says, I'm going to leave it there. Now that contradicts our Mishnah, which our Mishnah sounds like doesn't make a difference, that you don't have to specifically say you're being mevatel. Anytime you fill it up with earth or with pebbles, we're going to view that ditch as if it's closed off. That contradicts our Mishnah, Masechtas Olas. So Rav Huna says, you're right, it does contradict, but man tana olas, who is the tana in olas? Rabbi Yossi, it's Rabbi Yossi, and he argues on our Mishnah. And Rashi says the reason why we said it's Rabbi Yossi is because, as we're going to say later, his name is mentioned in the discussion, so we said it's Rabbi Yossi. But in truth, the Gemara is going to ask right now and show that it can't be Rabbi Yossi. E Rabbi Yossi, the Gemara says, Ibcha Shaminle, we learned that he holds the exact opposite of that Mishnah Nolas. How can you say he's that Tana? The Tana, like we learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Yossi Omer. Rabbi Yossi says, Tevin, if you filled up a house full with straw, and you're not going to ultimately take it out. That is, we know that he doesn't need it anymore. However, he didn't explicitly say that he's being mavatl over there. Harehu kastam offer, so that has the status like regular offer, like regular earth, when you're filling up a hole with earth that we don't know if you're going to take it out or not. ubatal, and therefore we will view it as if it is batal to the area, because regular earth stomach is batal. So obviously we see it according to Rabbi Yossi that regular earth is batal, and it's only by regular tevin, regular straw, where we don't know if he needs to take it or not, that they would say it's not going to be batal, like our Mishnah. So therefore, again, and then we continue with his statement, but from this statement of Rabbi Yossi, we see that he's not like the Mishnah in Alis. Rather, he's like our Mishnah, exactly like our Mishnah, which is that by Teven, we say that unless you explicitly say you're being Mevatlet, it's not going to be Batl. Whereas by Earth, Stam Offer is Batl, because we say that you're probably not going to take it out and you can leave it there. But that not you'd have to explicitly be Mevatlet, like the Mishnah in Alis says regarding the Tzaris. Then Rabbi Yossi continues and says, however, offer v'asid lefanaisi. Let's say you have earth, that we know that you're going to take it out. And that it's not a case of stomach, that you didn't, we don't know anything what's going on. We know that you're probably going to take it. Harehu kestam tevin, then it has a status like regular straw, where we don't know if you're going to take it out or not. V'loy batal, and then it has a status of that it's not batal, because generally by regular tevin, you're not being mevatlet. So the same thing applies regarding the offer, that we know you're going to take it out. Once we know you're going to take it out, then we don't view it as batal anymore. But anyway, well, the main point that Gemara is saying is that you see from Yossi that he's not like the Mishnah Alas. Rather, he's like our Mishnah, where Stam Offer is Batal, Stam Tevin is not Batal. So how can you say he's a Tana, the Mishnah Alas, which contradicts our Mishnah, which says that Stam Tzareris and Offer is not Batal unless you explicitly say you're being Mevatlet? So rather, El Omer Ravasi, rather Ravasi says, what did we mean? We said, Mantona Erevin. Who's the Tana of our Mishnah Masechtas Erevin? That's Rabbi Yossi. That's Rabbi Yossi. And not like the Mandom in the Masechtas Olas, as we proved that he holds that Stam Offer is Batal. Just by filling it up, we say you're probably going to leave it, and therefore it's Batal. Not like the Mishnah in Olas. Another approach the Gemara brings is, Rav Huna Beredi Rishua Amar, he says, wait a second. He says it's not two different opinions, our Mishnah and Mishnah Masechtas Olas. He says, Tuma Ashabis Karamas. You're posing a contradiction from the Mishnah Masechtas Olas, which talks about the concepts of ritual impurity of Tuma, on our Mishnah Masechtas Avin, which talks about the halachas of Shabbos. Hanach Isser Shabbos, leave alone the Isurim, the prohibitions of Shabbos, for example, like our Mishnah, that since earth is not something that can be moved on Shabbos, so therefore in our Mishnah we do say that stame without saying specifically either one way or the other or knowing your intention that it is batal. Because dafila arnaki, even a purse, even a wallet full with money, nami mevatl inish, even there a person would be mevatlet and it would be batal over there because it's an item that's mukta. Whereas by tumah that has no relevance. In other words, here by Shabbos, we have different criteria why we would say something is batal because Isurim of Shabbos, which it would be even by a wallet would say it's going to be batal. We don't even have to come out to offer. Whereas by straw, by tevin and kash, oh, there it's different because that could be taken to be used for fodder, for animals to eat. That's why we say that stomach is not batal. But regarding offer, of course it's batal because it's mukta, just like a wallet would be a problem. That's one approach. A similar approach, a third pshat that Gemara brings to resolve this contradiction, Rav Ashi Amar, he says, wait a second. Bayis Achoritz Karamis, you're posing a contradiction from the case in Olas, which talks about a house that's filled up with these items. On our case in Mishnah Masechtas Avin, which talks about a choritz, a ditch. That's how you're posing a contradiction? How could you say that? Bishleima choritz. I can understand by our case in our Mishnah, which talks about a ditch. Limitaime koi. And that is, it's the essence of filling up things in a ditch is with, you would fill it up with just earth. The purpose, the intention would be, obviously, to be mevatlet there because you want to fill up the ditch. And that would be even according to the opinion of the Rabbanan. Elabayis, but by a home, which is the case in the Mishnah in Masechtas Olas, lemetaimikai, is it set up? Is that your intention when you fill up things that you want to just block up the whole house? It's not set up for that. It's not the intention of most times, and therefore it's not going to be batal like the Mishnah Masechtas Olas says, and therefore that's even by offer, even by earth, which in our case, in our Mishnah we said that Stam Offer is batal, that's because a ditch, you fill it up, that obviously is your intention. A house, we don't say that, oh, that's your purpose, you wanted to block it up and leave it there forever, because that's not what houses are set up for, and therefore there's no contradiction. So again, that was the three approaches, either to Machlekes, or either two different reasons to show that they're different, that Shabbos and Tumah are different, or Choritz and Abayis are different, and therefore it's no difficulty. The Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah that said, regarding this charetz, this ditch, that is a separation, just like in height a wall would do, so to a ditch in depth would separate. If it's 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide, would separate two chatzeres. So therefore, the same thing would apply. Then the Mishnah said, however, nasna lav neser shereichiv dalet. However, if you put a plank, a board, that's 4 tefachim wide, across from one chatzah to the other across this charetz, then we said, oh, that would combine it. It's like an opening, it's like a portal that combines the two, and therefore then they could make an erev together. So Amar Rava Rava says, Lo yishanu, we didn't learn that for this connection to diminish this separation of the charetz, that you need to have a neser, a board that's four tefachim wide. Elishanasun l'rachvay. That's only if you put it to the width. And that is, if you take the length of the board to the width of the ditch, that is, you take it from one end to the other, you're going across the width of the ditch, therefore you're making it like a bridge. That's where we said that now to create a portal, it has to be four tefachim wide, as we had mentioned in the previous Mishnah, to, for example, a chaloin between these two chateres of a kaisel, it has to have the dimensions of four tefachim width to allow it to be considered a pesach. Aval yarkai, but if you're putting the board to the length of the ditch, and that is, you're putting the length of the board to the length of the ditch. And that is, you have a board that's four tefachim in the length, and you put it on beams, because obviously what's it hanging on? It's not going from side to side. You put it on beams. That's going to be closing off from the width of the ditch and diminishing it from the ditch's width of four tefachim. Then a fila kol shunami. Then even if the board is a narrow board that it's not even four tefachim wide, and even if it's like could be like an etzba, like a finger breadth, then even there it would work to diminish and allow the combination between the two chatzeres. Why is that? Shermiya to midala, because ultimately you have diminished the width of the charitz of on the length of four tefachim, of the length of the charitz, of diminishing it from its width of four tefachim. And as we had said in our Mishnah, for the charitz to be considered a mechitza, a separation between the two different chatzeres, it has to be 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide. But now that you're creating this board on the side, which is not going from side to side, it's not a portal in that sense, but it's diminishing the separation to less than 4 tefachim, again, along a length of 4 tefachim, therefore it's going to be, let's say, 3 tefachim or whatever it is, and now, oh, that's not a separation, and therefore we view it as the two chatzeres that are connected. Then the Gemara continues quoting from a Mishnah that said, a similar halacha, something applies to two, let's say, porches that are coming out from upper stories across Rosh Hashanah, one to the other. The same thing would apply that if you put this board that's four tefachim wide, connecting the two, then we can view them as there being a portal between them, and then they can make an erev together. So Amar Rava Rava said, Hada Amr, this that we said in the Mishnah, that zu keneged zu in, that yes, only if they're facing each other, one across exactly the other, then they could do this connection with this board, a four tefachim, like some type of a plank, a bridge. But however, zu shaloi keneged zu, but the inference was, but if they're not exactly the opposite, and that is, if let's say one's sticking out to Rosh Hashanah more than the other one, then loy, then we said that it wouldn't be enough with a board of four tefachim wide to connect the two. Or also, the inference is, v'zu l'mayla mizu nami, that if one was above the other, that also we would not be able to connect the two with a board of four tefachim wide. Lo yamar, and this is what Rava says, we didn't say to disqualify those cases, if they're not exactly one opposite to the other, el sheyesh bein ze lo ze shloisha tefachim, only if there's at least a gap of three tefachim. Well, ein bein ze lo ze shloisha, but if there's no gap of three tefachim, that is, they're not that far away from each other, they're less than three tefachim, then gezus tera kumhi, then we would call it a bent porch, and therefore, even if they're not keneged ze in height or in the width, that we would say that they would be considered connected based on lovet, and we would view it as a curved gezus tera, and then we would see them together as one, and then they would be able to make an erev together. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again talking about this concept of the previous Mishnahs, about a separation between two different chatzeres with some type of a division. So our Mishnah says, Masvein, a pile of straw, Shebein Shtei Chatzeres, that's between two different courtyards, and it goes along the entire width of both of these chatzeres, separating the two of them. If it's Gevoya Asar Tvachim, if it's 10 Tvachim high, then Ma'arvin Shnayim, Ve'im Ma'arvin Echa, then you could join in the Erev separately. Each Chatzah can do their own Erev, but you cannot join together in one large Erev because we view them as totally separate areas. They have no connection whatsoever because you have this Mechitza separating. However, Elu Machilin, these can feed from the straw for their animals, Mikan, on this side. and in other words, the people from this chatzer, the elam achil mekan, and the people from the other chatzer can feed their animals from the other side. And the chiddush of that is that we're not concerned that maybe that the animals are going to be eating and eating and diminish the straw from a height of 10 tefachim, which then ultimately would be considered one rishos, and they'd make it forbidden one on the other, because then they would not have been connected with an air, but they would be considered one chatzer if the wall comes crashing down by the animals eating away of it. And that is why we're not concerned for that, is because even if it would be diminished, it wouldn't be that much that it would be taking away from the height of 10 tefachim along a length of 10 amos or more, because it only makes it usur up until 10 amos. If even if the wall of this masvein is consumed, it's considered only a pesach as an opening, and that an animal doesn't eat so much that it's going to eat away a height of 10 tefachim along a length of 10 amos. And therefore, even if it's going to eat away one amos, two amos, three amos, it's still considered an opening, which says that we still view them as separate with an allowance on some level, if, let's say, before Shabbos to connect, but we'd still see them as separately, and there wouldn't be any problem for each one to be carrying in his half of the chatzah. However, the Mishnah does continue and says, Nismay HaTevin, if the straw was diminished, that is along the entire length of the chatzah, or at least on the length of 10 amos or more, then Measar Tfachim, again, if that was diminished from the height of 10 Tfachim along the length of 10 amos from before Shabbos, then Me'arvin Echad, again, if it was diminished from the weekday already, then they could join in one Erev, the Ein Me'arvin Shtayim. In that case, they cannot join the Erev separately, meaning two different Erevin, because here, once it was breached by having it more than 10 amos diminished a height of 10 tefachim, that we consider as breach one to the other, and then we view it as one large chatzah, so they can only do erev together if they want to, but they cannot do two separate erev. So now the Gemara explains that we said in the Mishnah, the elu machil mekan, ve'elu machil mekan, although we see them as separate with this wall of the straw, that we allow them to eat, the animals to eat from the side. We're not concerned that they can eat so much, because it's not possible, it's not something we should be concerned about at least, that it's going to do it on a length of 10 amos by diminishing this height of 10 tefachim. On this, Amr Rav Huna says, Ubavad shelo yitin. As long as the owner does not take with his hands to give, l'tech kupas to v'yoychel, that to put it into his animal's basket, and that the animal should be eating. And Rashi gives two interpretations of why this is awesome, because either we're concerned that he's going to take so much because the animal's not just eating, he's going to be taking and putting in from the pile to the chatzar, and then it's going to be forbidden. And this that it said in our Mishnah that machil, we do allow the animals to eat, that's because when the animal comes on its own, we're not concerned that it's going to diminish it so much, because the animal eats very slowly, that we allowed. But for him to go take it, we're concerned he might take so much, and thereby diminishing the wall, and then carrying in the chatzar that's not murevis. Another pshat Rashi brings is that the reason why he cannot put into the basket is because it's muktzah from yesterday to be considered a wall. There was this wall, and it was muktzah for that. In other words, it was set aside for that, which meant that you cannot touch it, and that's the reason why he cannot do it with his hands. Anyway, the Gemara asks on this. So it sounds like from the way Rav Huna is qualifying the halacha in the Mishnah is that as long as you don't go ahead and take it with your hands, that's permitted for the animals to go ahead and consume the straw. But it sounds like v'lo ukmi, but if you want to go ahead and stand, and meaning place the animal on the straw so that it should eat, it sounds like shari, that it's permitted, and that is, we're not concerned, we don't make a gzeira, that if we allow you to put your animal right there by the straw to go ahead and eat, that you might actually go take with your hands to go feed it. So obviously we see that it's very chomer, it's very stringent on a person, an issur d'rabbanan, which is again either of muktzah or of the different gzeira that we're concerned that you might come to diminish the area, that someone's not going to come, even though he's right there and he's being involved with putting his animal there, he's not going to come to go ahead and actually take the straw himself and be over the issur d'rabbanan of doing a biyadayim. That, is that really true? But v'amr avhuna amr b'chanina, he said that maimon odemes behemtoi agabe yisav meshabbos. A person is allowed to put his animal on top of grass that's attached to the ground on Shabbos to eat. And we're not concerned that he might go ahead by being involved, by putting his animal to eat the straw, eat the grass, that he might come to actually rip it out with his hands and feed it to his animal, because obviously everyone knows the issa derais of Shabbos, he's not going to go ahead and come to do that. However, ve'ein maimin odemes behemtoi agabe muktzah b'shabbos. However, a person is not allowed to go ahead and place his animal to go ahead and consume something that's muktzah, that's not attached, but it's muktzah, let's say it was detached on Shabbos, because that is more lax, because it's only issur d'rabbanan, and we're concerned that if we allow him to go ahead and put his animal, that he might come to actually feed the animal, be a diamond, be over the issur d'rabbanan of muktzah. So the question is, here also, since it's issur d'rabbanan, we should be concerned, and therefore, why are we saying that you just can't go ahead and actually take the straw? But it sounds like you could put your animal there. Why? It should be the same halacha as putting your animal over muktzah that we do not allow you because you might come to be over that isra banan. Here also we should not allow you because you might come to be over the isra banan of taking from this masvin of this wall of straw and giving it to your animal because we see that by the rabbanan a person is more lax about. That the Gemara says, you're right. That to go ahead and put your animal over, as we find by the statement of Rav Huna in the name of Rav Chanina, that we are concerned that you might come to be over it. But here the inference of our Mishnah, that it was allowing you to do everything but taking the straw, was not actually placing your animal on top of that masvein, but the koyim lo ba'apa. It means, the case of our Mishnah that was inferring, that was permitting it as long as you don't do it with your hands, meant that you're just standing in front of the animal. Not that you're actually placing the animal right there with your hands by the straw. Rather, you stood in its way, that it has nowhere else to go but straight towards the masvein. And the animal itself went to go to eat. That much, Rabbanu, we're concerned that you might come to take it. In other words, if you're putting your animal over there and holding it there, then we're concerned you might come to feed it. But if you're just standing in its way and then it itself goes there because you give it no choice where to go, then that's already more removed, and that is already different than the case that Rav Huna had said, and then we're not concerned that you're going to come to take the straw by yourself. Now the Gemara asks on Rav Huna's din. Again, this idea that you cannot use your hands. We allow the animals to eat from it, but you can't use your hands to give it. So the Gemara asks, is that really true that the owner cannot go ahead and take with his hands from the straw and put it in his animal's basket? But Vatani, we'll learn a braisa that says, a house that's between two different courtyards. And now, there are two homes in these two courtyards that open up into this home that's between the two courtyards. Umilahu teva. Now this connecting house, the one that's between these two courtyards that has a house in either one, you filled up that house with straw. So then halach is ma'arvin shnayim ve'im arvin echad. These two other courtyards have to make separate eruvin, and they cannot make one because we view this as a blocked off like a wall because it's closed up with straw. We view it as separating these two other chatzeres. However, this one could take from the straw that this house is filled up with into his basket and give it to feed to his animal. And this one could take from the straw and give it to feed to his animal. However, if the straw gets diminished to less in the house, to less than 10 tefachim, then they're both forbidden to carry in their own chatzeres, because now we're going to view the two chatzeres as connected because this house is not a separation anymore because it's down to less than 10 tefachim. So what would you do to permit the other one if it gets diminished to less than 10 tefachim because they did not make an eruv, and now at least not together, and therefore now that we view them as one area, what can you do to carry in the chatzar? So the halacha is noyel es beis. One of them goes and he closes his house that's open into that house, that middle house. Umevatel es reshusa, and he's mevatel his rights of way, which the Gemara on Amud Beis is going to ask, why do you need both? Why do you need to have to close your door, which itself is a sign of bittul, and to actually go ahead and be mevatel and say, hey, I'm not going to use this anymore. But either way, it says, then what happens? Hu aser, he becomes forbidden to carry from his house to that courtyard because he was mevatel his reshus, and the whole house, that middle house, becomes part of the other chatzar. The chaver mutter, and then the other one at least could carry from that bias with the tevin into his house because now it's only considered his rishos ayachid because the other one is out of the equation. And the Gemara says, v'chena to'imer begoiv shal tevin. The same thing applies to a goiv shal tevin. A goiv is a wide pit, which is where they would put straw into that pit. Shebein based chumish ames, that's between two different boundaries of the extent of how far you can walk on Shabbos. And that is, if let's say it's between two different tchumen, that is half of this big pit full of straw is where the end of one city's tchum is, and then the other half is within the tchum of the other city, so then each one can take from the pile that's in their half, in their tchum of Yomtiv, and so to the other ones, and we're not concerned that maybe that, oh, they might come to take from the other half of the pit, which is part of the other city's tchum, out of their tchum, and the other one might take from there, that we're not concerned about. We give the same type of halacha that you're allowed to take from either side. Either way, the Gemara concludes from this to ask the question. However, one thing that we did see is that the first things that we saw over there was that this one could take it from that house that's closed off from the straw and put into his basket and give to his animal to eat. And we see that we're not concerned that they might come to diminish it. So why is it different than Rav Huna, who's saying in our Mishnah that you cannot do it with your hands because then you might diminish it? There we see explicitly the Tanoik statement that says that you could take it with your hands from that house. It's only if it gets less to 10 where the problems start, and then one has to be mevatel to the other. So Ami, they said to answer that the cases are different. The case of our Mishnah that's talking about a masvein is different than over there, which is talking about a house filled with straw. Because buy is buy a house. Even the ikka mechitzis, some take out the word mechitzis, because the main idea is since there is a tikra, since there is a roof, ki mifchis, when the pile starts getting diminished, min kurele milsa, it becomes obvious. And that is because what you realize is that the roof of this pile starts getting lower from the roof. And if it's going to become less than 10 tfachim, you're going to notice and say, hey, wait a second, I see this, the ceiling's getting more, closer, and that is, it's getting a larger gap. And Rashi says the same thing would apply to the other pshat that says the reason why you not do it with your hands is because of muktzah. It's also not going to be usher because of muktzah, only from 10 tfachim and below, because any part of the wall of this masvin that's higher than 10 tfachim is not necessary for the intrinsic quality of what mechitz is, which only needs 10 tefachim. So therefore, by a bias, we're not concerned because we don't think that you're going to come to do less than 10 tefachim. And therefore, we let you do it with your hands because you're going to notice, hey, look, the ceiling is getting clearer and clearer. This must be a problem. Hacha, but in our Mishnah, the reason why Rav Huna said it's us to do it b'yadayim is le'minkur le'milsa. There's nothing for us to realize and recognize what that it's getting further and further. And therefore, our Mishnah that was talking about the masvin was in the chatzar, was in the courtyard, which has no roof. And therefore, since it's not obvious, you might come to diminish it more than 10 tefachim, and then they're going to be breached one to the other, and they're going to be carrying with being over on this isra of a chatzar she'inim u'reves. And that's why by here, you cannot do b'yadayim, but there when it was in the house, you could do it, because then you'll notice when it's going to get to the danger area of less than 10 tefachim. So the Gemara continues elucidating the Braisa. The Braisa said, Nismayit ha-teven me'asar tefachim, if the straw in that house got to less than 10 tefachim, then Shnei Masurim, they're both usher, because now the walls are down, and the walls are down, we view it as one big chatzar, now they can't carry in their private chatzars. So the inference of the Gemara is ha-asar is shari, but if it's still height of 10 tefachim, then it would be permitted, and we would view it still as a mechitza. So the inference is, v'avagav d'medalya tikkur tuvi, even though the roof is very far from the wall, because we're saying we're eating it, and the house was filled up, but as long as it's 10 tefachim, we're going to view it as a separation, as a wall between the two different chatzeres, even though that doesn't reach the ceiling. Shema mina, so we can infer from this braisa, that mechitzes regarding walls that are separating in this house, she'ed magis latikr, that do not reach the ceiling, shman mechitzes, they have the status as walls, and that refutes the one that says his opinion, the Perek Hadar on Ayin and Beis Amad Alf, that spoke about regarding five different groups that spend Shabbos in the Trakla in the mansion, that if there are walls that are 10 tefachim high, that Beis Hill says that it's mutter, and the reason why this opinion said that was because the walls do not reach the ceiling, and therefore doesn't separate between the dwellers. Here we see a contradiction to that idea, because here we see that as long as it's 10 tefachim high, even though obviously we're saying it's diminished and it's far from the ceiling, that it will be considered a mechitza. So Abaye Abaye says, no, it's not a raya. Because hacha b'baye shaloisha asur chasur mashraskin. Here we're talking about that the height of the ceiling, the ceilings were only 13 and 13 minus a little bit of tefachim from the ground. And v'tevan asara, and the straw was 10 tefachim. Therefore, we're saying that even if it gets down, but it's at least 10 tefachim, that then it's going to be considered a mechitza, because based on the principle of Lovid, we will see the walls reaching the ceiling. And that's why, so although it was all the way to the top, to the 12 and whatever it is, 9 tenths, all the way up to the top of the ceiling, and it got diminished to 12, 11, but as long as there's 10, and therefore it's a valid mechitza, we will still view it as reaching the ceiling based on the principle of love, and therefore it doesn't refute that opinion. It holds that it has to actually reach the ceiling. Another approach is in the Gemara. Rav Huna b'Rei d'Yeshua says, no, I feel a tema b'baisa, so you could even say we're talking about a house that the ceilings are only 10 tefachim. But then the question becomes, that how do you understand the case of that the tevin, the straw had diminished, and that it should still be a mechitza of 10 tefachim, which is the shear that's requisite for a mechitza? How can you say that it's talking about a ceilings of 10 tefachim, and that it can be diminished and still be 10 tefachim? However, we're talking about the tevin shiva mashu. We're talking about that the straw of this wall, this masvin, is 7 and a little bit, which the Gemara later is going to ask. It says in the Braisa, Nismait Ma'asar, that it was 10. So how can we understand this? But anyway, so he says, because how does that work? The Chalpachas Mishleisha Kalavadami, because anything that's less than 3, we view in the principle of Lovet as if it's attached, and therefore we're going to view this Masvin as a complete wall of 10 Tfachim based on the principle of Lovet. But now the Gemara asked the question that we just alluded to. Bishlem ala baya, we could very well understand the baya's pshat, that it was 13 minus a little bit. So we can understand that we said that, but if it gets diminished from 10, then it's going to be aser. Because at one point it was 10, meaning even when it got diminished, as long as it's 10. El Rav Huna b'Rei de Yeshua, my masar. What does it mean that it got diminished from 10, that it's not good? It's not true. He holds even if it's 7 and a little bit, that it is good. So why are we saying that if it got diminished from 10, that it's not good? And I think our answer is mitoiras asar, from the halacha of 10. In other words, of course he agrees that a mechitza has to be 10 tefachim. But you can get 10 through halachic principles such as lovet, which is 7 and a little bit. So when it says that it's going to be nifchas mesar, it doesn't really mean from 10. It means from the halacha of 10, which would be, let's say, less than 7, and then you wouldn't be able to have lovet anymore. And therefore, it's like almost like a double lovet, that we say that we're going to view this as 10 tefachim. Then when it gets less than 7, then that is what the Braisa meant, that it's going to be awesome. Then the Braisa said that shnein asur, that is when it said that if the straw is going to diminish from 10 tefachim, then each one are going to make it a problem for each other, because now they're totally breached and they did not join in the Erev together because they couldn't. They had this masvin, this wall separating, so now they're going to be asur. That the Gemara infers, Shema Mina, that the urine haboin b'Shabbos, that when we have dwellers, we have residents that come on Shabbos, which is like the case over here, because yesterday there weren't these other dwellers of the other chatzar that had a role over here, past this masvin from one side to the other. It's only now that on Shabbos that the walls, so to speak, came crumbling down of this masvin, that now we see these residents all here, and hey, wait a second, we're not joined together, that asurin, that they make it Usr, and we don't say that this klal of that, oh wait, Shabbos, since it was hutra. Once we started Shabbos permitted, which we were able to because this wall over here was here, and we were allowed to make our own Erev, and they were allowed to make their own Erev. And this is a machlik is in the first parak of Daf Yud Zayin regarding a shayara, a caravan that had settled in the open fields, where then if more come on Shabbos or some leave on Shabbos, where there was a machloikis, here it seems to clearly indicate that things that happen on Shabbos do play a role and that it will be aser. So therefore that's a contradiction to that opinion that says that once Shabbos starts, it's good for the rest of the Shabbos, you don't care if things change over Shabbos. And then the Gemara says, no, it's not a riot. Dilmat imit me'etmo, maybe this that we said, that if it gets diminished, then both are going to be usher. It means that happened from before Shabbos. It happened before Shabbos. Now they're breached. Of course, they're not going to be permitted with the Erev they had made separately because it started already from before Shabbos, this problem. You didn't have hoyel b'hutra hutra. You didn't have that it started off on the right foot at all. And therefore, but of course, yes, if it happened on Shabbos, that opinion would hold that it wouldn't make it a problem. Even if it comes down, we would still view the two separate areas as kosher with their own separate Erev. Then the Braisa continued. It said, Ketzed hu oisit. So what do you do? The walls came down, we view them as breached one to the other, so what can we do if our Erevin, our separate Erevin, are not going to work? So the halacha, the Braisa says, was noyel es beis. First of all, he closes off his house to show that he has no rights of way in this connecting house between the two chatzers. And also, mevat reshusay, he nullifies his rights of way. To which the Gemara asks, Tarti? Do you need both? Why do you need both for? Each one is a valid bittel to the other one, and bittel works. And then the Gemara says, hachikama. What the Braisa was saying was, either or, oy noyel is basically, either he locks his house, which is revealing that now I'm removed from here and that is his bittel, like mevatlis reshusay, or he does it verbally and he says he's nullifying his rights over here. But either one would work. You don't need both. Vibayisem, another approach to Gemara says no, la'olam tarti. In truth, you need to have both. But regarding to permit his friend, yes, that would be enough with one, because bittel would work with just verbalizing it. You don't have to actually close your door. So for the other one to be permitted, it's enough with one. However, for the guy himself that's doing this mechanism, that's blocking himself off, because of a harchaka, that we want to make sure that he doesn't come to carry over there, because once he relinquishes his rights, he can't carry over there. It's considered a different domain. And therefore, Kivan the Dash Beis, since he was so used to using that area because he was open to that area, it's just now for halachic principles on Shabbos, he wants to say he's separate. Also, Lototuli, he might come to carry in there. And therefore, because of that, we're concerned that that's why he has to do like a double protection that he doesn't come to carry over there. And as Rashi says, that this Tana would also hold that by any circumstance of being Mevatel Yerushos, that although Bitl itself works, you would have to close your door as an added stringency that you shouldn't come to carry in that area because now you're totally removed. Then you have no rights of way over there. Now the Gemara continues, and the Braisa says, "Who also v'chaver muta?" That we said that he's forbidden because he has no more rights of way over there, but his friend is permitted. The Gemara has pshita. That's pretty obvious. What's the chiddush? Of course, that's the classic concept of bittel. And that the Gemara says, "No, loy tzrichi." We needed to tell you in the case of the hadur idach, where the one that got the rights of way, he went then ubatulei l'chaver, and then he went and nullified his rights to the other one that had been mevatlet to him after he did what he needed by taking the straw over there. Says, "Okay, now it's your turn. I'm mevatlet to you." B'hakamashman, the chiddush is telling us the ein mevatlin v'chayiz mevatlin. That you cannot do bittel and then go back bittel and back. You can only do one bittel on Shabbos, and that's what we're saying. Hu asu b'chaver mutu in absolute terms to say that once you're mevatel, you're out of the equation. He cannot go ahead and remevatel it back to you. Then the Braisa said the same principle would apply. That if you have this big pit full of straw that is between the two boundaries of two different areas, that your tchum ends over here, his tchum ends each one halfway over there, that also each one could consume from the straw on their sides. And we're not concerned that you might come to take from either side. So that the Gemara asks, Pshita, it's pretty obvious. What is this a bigger chiddush of the halachas of tchumen than the case we said before, that of chatzeres? Both of them are isur drabanan, so why would we have to continue to say the same concept? We said that both by Ruben chatzeres already that you could consume it. We're not concerned you might come to take from the other side or come to do the isur. Same thing over here by tchumen. And that thing was loy tzricha. We need it l'Rebbe Kiva for the opinion of Rebbe Kiva that's brought in Masechta Saita and Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. That he says tchumen deiraisa. He says the principle of tchumen of how far you can walk on Shabbos is a deiraisa principle. And therefore, ma'ad de tembu, I would have thought to say ligzer dilma'ase lachlufe, that we should make a decree that we should not allow you to take even from this pit of straw, even from your side, because you might come to switch and take from the other side of the pit, from what's beyond your tchumen, then you possibly are going to be on the iser deiraisa of tchumen. K'mashmulan, that's why I have to tell you, even tchumen, which is deiraisa, still we're not concerned. You can take from your side and he can take from his side, and we don't think that you're going to come to take from the other side and be over on the issa deiraisa of tchumen. Now the Gemara concluded the first part of this parak of Chalayin, and he goes on to discussing shitufim avois, about the joint partnership of, as we said many times, that the homes would open up into the chatzar, and then many chatzers would open up into a mavoi. So that if, let's say, everyone had joined in their chatzar, but now they want to join in and carry in all the chatzers and in the mavoi, the alleyway that connects those two, so then you do what's called a shetufim avois. Everybody chips in, every chatzar chips in, to go ahead and join and put something in one of the chatzers to say that we're all viewed as one big chatzar, and therefore we could carry in all the chatzers and the mavoi. But however, our Mishnah asks an interesting question. How can we do a sheet of mavoi in an easy way? And that is, we know how to do sheet of mavois, that you collect from every chatzah separately. But how can you do it without going through the actual collection, which would be a very difficult process from every one of the chatzahs? So the Mishnah tells us, he places a barrel, meaning from his own if he wants to, and he says, this one individual says, this barrel is everybody in this whole entire alleyway, and that is from this mavi, all the chatzeres, every individual over here has a share in this barrel. Umezak lehen, and he acquires it to them. Alide benoy ubitagdom, either through his adult son or daughter, and he tells them, be makabelit, accept this barrel and be zoichin it in the name of all the people of the mavi. In other words, you go ahead and acquire it as a messenger for them, or valide avdoy vishav chasay ivrim, or through his Jewish male or female servant, or through his wife. All these are considered individual, separate from him, which they could go ahead and acquire it for everyone else. Thereby, you made a shituv mevayis by virtue of being mezakeh. Everybody, so everyone has a portion of this. This is a valid shituv mevayis. However, the Mishnah says, aval eina mezakeh, but he cannot be mezakeh to them, have them acquire it, loyal yidei benoi bita ketanim, not through his minor son or daughter, or not through his non-Jewish male slave or female slave, Because those cases of his children, young children, and his slaves, they are considered, their hands are considered an extension of his hands, and that is their schi is not considered a merit for them, because it's like taking from your right hand to your left hand, whatever they pick up goes straight to the master, and therefore they cannot acquire it for everyone else. That wouldn't be good. You would have to have someone that's an individual, separate from the father, from this person that's being mezakeh to them, and then he could be mezakeh to everyone. That could be a valid shetuvim advice. So now the Gemara explains this process of zikoy, of getting by the whole collection process, and having one person be mezakeh to everyone else. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda says, Chavish shel shetuvim advice. This barrel that we spoke about in the Mishnah of this joining of the entire mavoi, tzarch lagbia min hakarka, has to be elevated from the ground, meaning when that person is being mezakeh for all the people in the entire mavoi, tefach, at least a tefach, because as long as it's still placed in the reshus of the owner of the barrel, that would not be considered a schia to everyone else, as it says in the Tosefta. It says that if it's their foods, then he doesn't have to be mezakeh to them, and then it doesn't have to be picked up, this tefach. But if it's his, it's one person's, then the shliach, the messenger, has to pick it up from the ground and say, I'm being mezakit, I'm meriting it for everybody else, so therefore it's not enough to be zakh, you have to actually pick it up to take it out of that person's rishos. So Amar Rava comments on this, and he says, Hani tarti mili, these two statements, which he's going to say, Sabi de Pumbadisa Amrina, the elders of Pumbadisa had said, as a reference to Rabbi Yehuda and his yeshiva, as is mentioned in the end of the first parak of Masechta Sanhedrin, that they said these two things. One was the statement that was just said that it has to be picked up. The one that's being mezakeh in the shetuvim advice has to pick it up from the ground of tefach. And idach, the other statement that he said, that they said, was hamekadish, someone that's making kiddush, im ta'am maloy belugmav yatsa. If after he makes kiddush on Shabbos or Yom Tov, if he tastes at least a cheekful, then he's going to be yotze his chiv of kiddush. If he just sips a little bit and he doesn't have his cheekful, then he's not going to be yotze the chiv of making kiddush. So Amar Rav Chaviva says, Hanami Sabe de Pumbadisa Marina. A third statement was also said by the elders of Pumbadisa, which again was a reference to Rabbi Yehuda. The Amar Rabbi Yehuda, which is the elders of Pumbadisa, Amar Shmuel, he said, Name Shmuel, Aisin Madura. One is allowed to make a large fire, L'chaya b'Shabbos. For a woman that had just given birth on Shabbos, she's in a very ill state, and therefore they're allowed to make a fire for her. So Sav Mina, they thought to infer from this statement that L'chaya in, it was only for a woman that gave birth, but L'chaya l'life, but just for a regular sick person, you're not allowed to make a large fire. And similarly, they thought that B'moisag Shamim in, it's only during the winter, the cold months, that then you're allowed to make a large fire for the woman that gave birth, but B'moisag Hamaloi, but then even for a woman that gave birth, if it's summertime, then you're not allowed to make a fire. However, Itmar, we learned, Amrav Chibar Oven Amar Shmuel, again, this was said in the name of Shmuel, and therefore this other statement clarifies that statement, that Hikas Dam Venetanen, even if someone just let blood, and he feels ill, and he's feeling chilled, Oysen Loy Madurim B'Shabbos, you're allowed to make a fire, a large fire for him on Shabbos, Vafilu B'Tkuvas Tamas, even in the summer months, in the period of Tamas, that even then, again, even summertime, and even other ill people, you're allowed to go ahead and make a fire for them because of their illness. So Amemer says, Hanami Sarah de Pumbadisa Amrina. A fourth statement was also said by the elders of Pumbadisa. The Imam that it was said as follows. Ezihi Asheristam. What is a given that something, even without knowing for a fact that this is Nasheri, that this is a tree that is served as Avodah Zarah by idol worshippers, and that even if we don't see them bowing down or doing anything to it, we take for granted that it is an Asheri tree. Amar Rav said, Kol Shekoymet Shemenosa. Wherever you find that the priests of this idol worship, that they go ahead and they protect this tree, and we continue on the top of Peyman Aleph, the ain't toy emin mi perseh, and they also don't eat from the fruits of that tree, then why would they do that? Why are they protecting and not eating from the fruits? That it's obviously that the reason is because they serve this tree, and therefore they're separating from it, and that's a clear proof that this is considered an Asherah tree, and therefore it has all the properties related to an Asherah tree. Another pshat the Gemara says is that Bishmul HaMishmul says Kagoyin de Amri, to way to know what's an Asheri tree, even though we don't see clear proof, is, for example, if they're saying that Hani Tamri L'Shichur de Bein Nitzafri, that these dates should be used for beer, for Bein Nitzafri, which is the name of an Avodah Zarah of an idol, which was in that country, the Shasul LeBiyam Edom, that they would drink on their holidays. If they say that, then we know, oh, this is definitely an Asheri tree, and that's why they use its produce for the Avodah Zarah. And Amar Meimer, Meimer said, Va'amri li sabi de pomadisa, and the elders of pomadisa told me that what? Hilchasaka v'seid shmul, halacha v'alzak shmul, that what is a stam asheira, is if they say that, oh, let's use these fruits for the beer, to go ahead and use it for bein nitzafri, that would be a clear-cut raya that this is an asheira tree, even though we don't see them serving it, and that was the fourth statement that was said by the sabi de pomadisa.